Any question you would like to ask?
Master, I have two questions to make. The first one, we read in our books, in our Sant Mat books, that we have to bring our attention to the eye center. We cannot translate in Greek word by word the eye center. We have to translate it as the center of the eye. Some Greek satsangis translate it as the center of the eyes, plural. It is correct? Or with eye center we mean the third eye, that is something different?
Actually we mean third eye. Eye center means the third eye.
The third eye.
Whenever you are confronted with any question, you can always write to us, and my publication department will enlighten you on that point, she said.
The second is not a question, rather a request. In the new book about Kabir, the poems of Kabir, I read a beautiful poem under the title, The Indifferent Wife. Kabir makes a metaphor or comparison between a satsangi and a bashful Indian bride of the old times who did not want to be noticed by her mother-in-law and sisters-in-law when she had to go to her husband. In a similar way, the satsangi is shy. Could you please elaborate a little bit on this?
You see, unless I read the poem, unless I read what has been written, in what context this example is given, it's very difficult to comment. So if you read the whole poem, you will know at what context this has been referred. They are only way of explaining that satsangis are shy to go to the master, or they feel unconcerned about the comments of the public or public opinion when they go to their master. They are not feeling perturbed at all by the public opinion. So it must be in some reference to that. It must have been written. But I can't exactly say unless you see, you read the poem. Yes?
I've often wondered about the possibility of using your photograph at the time of Dhyan to remind us of your actual living form. And I know that it's I'm just confused about that.
Sister, photo is not the right thing to be used, no. This should only remind us of our master, but they should not be used in our meditation at all.
I mean, just because we see the photograph all the time through the day in our house,
yes,
just to bring the form to mind, and then, or should we just start with the living form?
We should remind you about the teaching, about the way of life, about the atmosphere in which you have been, all those things,
uh-huh,
but they should not be used as a means of meditation.
So we should sit quietly and just try and capture the living form as we've seen it, even if it's been years.
Just try to concentrate here with the help of Simran. Yes. There are so many hands I can't select, so you, whosoever speaks is okay.
Master, if we use the visualization techniques systematically for the purpose of furthering worldly success, does this retard our spiritual progress?
No. You see, we by doing Simran and contemplating on the form of the master, or even by attending to our meditation, we always have our composed mind, concentrated mind. So whatever problem of the world or any job we'll try to tackle, we'll be more clearer over it, because our thoughts are not running out. So we can concentrate on that problem much better, and there's no harm in that. This will be automatic. This won't stand in the progress of your meditation in any way.
Master, I'm a bit confused about Dhyan. Is it necessary to visualize the radiant form of the master all the time during Simran, or only just to start with?
You see, while doing Simran, you should also contemplate on the form of the Master, while doing Simran. Because you have to occupy both the faculties, faculty to think and faculty to visualize. Otherwise, if you only use the faculty to think in Simran, then your faculty to visualize will run out. You will be doing Simran and start thinking about all the worldly things. You see, just looking at all the worldly faces and worldly objects. So both faculties have to be occupied. That is why we do Simran and Dhyan both together at the same time. Yes, please.
Master, I know very well that you love us, but would you mind expressing this love, this affection to our us?
Well, sister, if you use your words to express your love, you lose the depth of love. Love doesn't need any expression at all. It has to be felt, it has to be experienced. The words are meaningless in love.
Thank you, Master.
If you try to express it by word, you lose its depth. Lover doesn't need any expression, and beloved doesn't need any expression from the lover at all. They must feel within. They must digest within. They must experience within.
Would you allow me to tell you that some of us feel...
Pardon?
Would you allow to tell you that some of us feel that you are the sweetest dad in the world?
Sweetest? What speaker?
Sweetest dad in the world. You're the sweetest dad in the world.
Huh? Well, you will know when you will taste it. It may be a bittersweet. People generally try to avoid sugar-coated pills. Yes.
Maharaji, Babaji is quoted in one of our books as saying that there is no sense in regretting past actions because each action takes its predestined course only. How can we be held responsible for actions that we had no choice but to commit?
Sister, who has created our destiny? Who is responsible for this destiny? On which we say we are not responsible what we have done. Who is responsible for this destiny? We are responsible for our destiny. Whatever we did last, whatever we sowed the seeds, we are reaping the same crop now, harvesting the same crop now. So we are responsible what we did in the past, so we are responsible what we are collecting now. How can we say that we are not responsible what we are doing? Then action leads to reaction, and reaction leads to action. Karma leads to karma. What Babaji wrote is something very different. There's no use in repenting for what has been done in the past and unnecessarily feeling guilty about it. Attend to meditation. This will help you to get rid of the feeling of guilt and also clear that karma. See, you will unlighten that load of karma. So instead of worrying what you have done in the past, take a positive step to attend to your meditation. This will help you to get rid of that involvement. Yes.
Master, is there any way that we can know for sure if we are pleasing you? Can you give us a sign?
Well, ask yourself. If you think you are pleasing me, you are pleasing me. Otherwise, I am never displeased.
Thank you.
Yes.
Master, yesterday we heard about struggling with our mind. Can I, as a seeker, take the same means with hot water and salt when I sit longer, or should I wait until I might be initiated?
Well, brother, urge to follow the path must come from within. And with great, even spite of your resistance, the pull should be there to follow it. Unless one is fully convinced, one should not try to follow any path at all. Time spent in research, in making investigation, in dissolving our doubts, making all sorts of inquiry, is not time lost, it's time gained. We are building on a rock, we're not building on a sand. So we should never worry how much time we have spent in searching, in understanding. And once we have understood, we have taken the path, then we should leave aside all these questions and queries and all that. We must give it a fair trial. We must attend to our meditation then. Then intellect should not come in our way in any way. Then we should set aside our intellect. We should satisfy our intellect before following the path. After that, all what is needed is only meditation and practice. Yes?
Maharaji, can you please briefly describe the relationship between attempting our meditation with as much love and devotion as possible and also viewing it as a struggle or a fight against the mind?
A relationship of what?
Trying to approach our meditation with love and devotion and also viewing meditation as a struggle or a fight against the mind.
Well, brother, some sort of love is always there within us when we follow the path, when we try to attend to our meditation. The more we follow the path, the more we attend to meditation, that love starts growing. And it grows and grows and grows to become one with the Father. That is why Christ said, unless you take a new birth, you cannot go back to the Father. This is just taking a new birth. We just come as a babe, as children. We set aside our intellect. We just surrender ourselves like a child. And then we start growing in love and devotion for the Father by following the path. And we grow and grow and grow to the extent of becoming one with the Father. The more we give that love and devotion to the Father, the more it grows. It doesn't diminish. Love is something which never diminishes by giving. It rather grows. So that love and devotion will automatically come when we are attending to our meditation. And some sort of pull is there when we try to follow the path, when we try to attend to meditation. We have to strengthen that pull by attending to meditation. We have to be more receptive to His pull, more receptive to His grace within. Yes?
Master, lately there has been a lot of activity with extraterrestrial beings. They use channels to talk to people, to talk to the society. Will that be a major trend in the years to come? And where are these extraterrestrial beings actually coming from?
I'm not following your question. There is some way of addressing the society or what?
What was that?
I've not followed your question.
Okay. There are extraterrestrial beings that are using people to talk to, talk through. They're called channels.
You mean the media, mediums?
Yes, mediums or channels.
They try to talk through them?
Right.
Well, brother, Santmat is something very different than that. We don't want to dabble in those acrobats.
Yes, I understand that, but I'm just wondering if you know where they are coming from, these...
When we have nothing to do with them, why should we bother what they do and how they do?
Thank you.
Yes?
Master, I have three questions. The first one is regarding taking medicines made from powdered deer horn. Is that permissible?
medicine made?
From powdered deer horn. This is something frequently used in Chinese medicine.
Powdered?
Made from the horns of a deer. Made from the horns
well,
of a deer.
Well, I don't know about these modern medicines, you see, where they are leading us to. You have to make your own choice. We have, our principles are before us. We have not to compromise with those principles. If there is a substitute, you can have a substitute. If you think there is no substitute and that is very essential as a life-saving drug, well, you use it.
The question in my mind regarding this principle is that the horn of the deer, you don't have to kill the deer, the same as you don't have to kill the cow to get the milk. So wouldn't that be within the Sanman principle?
Well, you can use it then.
Second question is regarding, do we have to be celibate or brahmacharya before nam becomes manifest in us?
No, even the married people are being initiated.
But Siddhar Bahadur says that nam and kam are poles apart and that anyone who indulges
see,
in sex...
That is right. It definitely pulls us downward. But the suppression may pull you still downward. It may make you even wilder than a normal human being. So definitely it is in our way. But we have to take a practical way in a married life. Both partners should go together. They should both try to help each other.
So we should aim at that.
Definitely. Our aim should be definitely at that. Or not at the cost of one another.
I see.
The most both go together.
Third question is that I have heard it said that what you love more than anything else is for a satsangi to become the dust of all men's feet. And for a satsangi to become the dust of all men's feet. And you also said...
What I mean to say that we should be humble. Don't take it literally. Neither we can become dust of anybody's feet. We should be just humble. We should feel very proud of becoming a satsangi. We should not become a victim of this another feeling that now we are superior than others. We should be humble. Humility should be in our daily activities of life.
When you say that the seed has to mingle with the dust before it can sprout,
yes.
That just means to be humble?
That means to be humble. But as long as the ego is there, you are not humble. Cosmetic jewelry has no value. This, you see, calculated humility doesn't lead us very far. We should be humble from the heart. When are we humble? When we are confronted with a great man, great power. When you will see the Father in everyone, you will automatically become humble. Then you will see your Father everywhere and you will be filled with humility before everyone. So the idea is to eliminate ego from within us. And only by meditation we can eliminate ego. The more we are able to eliminate ego, the more humble automatically we become. So we have to become the dust before you can collect the car. Yes?
Maharaji, I have two questions to ask. One is where the body, the soul, leaves. When we put, and I've been watching you, when you put your arm in your chest, does that mean that here is where the soul leaves or leaves to the entire body?
Sister, soul leaves the body when you are able to withdraw the whole soul, comes to the eye center, then it leaves the body. You mean that the time of death you are talking about or what?
And every day, not in time of death, because my second question was, when we die, where the soul goes up from the third eye, from the mouth, from the eyes, where?
From the here, eye center. After it comes, after the soul is withdrawn to the eye center, it leaves the body. And it goes according to its karma.
Maharaji, is the...
Meditation system is nothing but a rehearsal to die every day. That is actually a meditation is. Rehearsal to die every day. That is why St. Paul said, I die daily.
Maharaj, do you let us know few days or few months in advance or the same day when we have to go with you? Or is...
It depends on the individual. Some people know much earlier. Some people just know they cannot even express or tell anyone. Some people even tell. It depends on the individuals.
Thank you.
Yes, anyone can say.
Last year you said, because it's the same thing, I want to see, when you leave, I want to still be able to see you. And it's like last year you said, don't worry. A year and a half, I haven't, you know, I've been patient, I haven't been worrying, and now I'm worried again.
I still say don't worry. When your mind is always worrying, how can you concentrate? A worried mind can never concentrate. A relaxed mind absolutely concentrates. You should not think about any results at all. You should not get excited to get any results at all. Just be calm and attend to your Simran. His grace is always there. Don't get excited. Don't fight with your mind. Just relax and attend to meditation.
How am I going to get over the sadness, though?
Well, I don't know your circumstances, but meditation should not make us sad. It should relax us. It should rather compose us. We should feel the bliss and peace within. Yes, please.
Maharaji, thank you for being you. Oh, I would like you to clarify a little bit more about the difference between a spiritual experience and a psychic experience, because it's difficult to know what to say sometimes.
Well, sister, it's very difficult to explain what is psychic experience and what is spiritual experience. Only by experience you will know that whether it is the tricks of the mind, play of the mind, or you are having some spiritual experiences. You yourself will know it.
I will know it?
Definitely.
And then it's a psychic experience, if you're involved in a conversation, you're trying to explain something, you can tell a little bit about that, or not?
There's so many types of psychic, you see.
I know, say the minor ones.
You should just forget about them, just attend to your meditation.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Yes? Yes, go.
Could you talk about what it was like for you growing up?
What?
Could you talk about what it was like for you growing up with Great Master as your grandfather?
Life for me?
Yeah, what was it like? What was your childhood like?
Well, I passed through all that. What did you talk about now? That is all what I left behind. Let us talk what I am now. You see, you will hear from so many people, same story, you see. Nothing much to feel proud of to tell. My childhood was as everybody's childhood is, or was. So there's nothing much to talk about. Yes, sir.
Maharaji, in Delhi or Salvador, seemed to express about an examination that the Guru's grace was giving us extra satsangs because the examination is coming up soon. Could you talk to us about the examination and when and what we should do about that?
Which examination you're talking about?
I'm not exactly sure what he meant by the examination. You're the teacher, we're the students, and there's an examination that we all must have.
Well, sister, Master never tests us at all. He already knows where we stand. He already knows how weak we are, how much we are struggling. He already knows. What is there to test a disciple? But sometimes disciple starts thinking too much about one own self. So just to realize him where he stands, you can say that I have been put to test, I have been put to examination, just to make one realize where one stands. Otherwise, Master doesn't need any test or any examination to know anybody at all. We are all struggling soul and we are not fit for any examination at all. We are all depending upon the grace and mercy of the Father. Yes.
Thank you. Master, how does the seeker know if he or she is destined?
Pardon?
How does the seeker know if he or she is destined to be a disciple of yours? How does one know if that is if that is one's destiny?
Well, sister, disciple doesn't have to know at all. He will automatically be drawn to the path. Automatically will be pulled to the path. And when he comes on the path, he will know where he stands.
Thank you.
Maharaji, is it possible that there are attachments still from past lives that can make us take a new birth, attachments that we don't even know about?
Sister, there are so many attachments in our subconscious mind. It is not the attachment of this life. It is the previous attachments of previous lives which can pull us back to this creation, about which we are not even conscious of them, those attachments at all. We don't know about those attachments at all. But they are there lying in the subconscious of the mind. We can only know what we have faced in this life. What do we know about what we have been going through in the previous lives? In every life we have so many attachments. We have committed so many karmas. We have collected so much dross. We know nothing about that. So meditation automatically takes care of all that. Meditation actually is meant for our store of karmas. As you know, there are three types of karmas. This destiny we go through. With our strong willpower, we can pull through our life. And with our strong willpower, we may not sow any new seed at all. But what about the karmas which we have committed in the previous lives? We have no ways and means to destroy them. Even they pull us back to this creation again and again. So unless we destroy or account for all the karmas, even of the previous lives, we cannot get rid of the realm of Kal. So meditation is actually meant for those karmas of our previous lives. So all those attachments are automatically taken care of by meditation.
So is it foolish then to even look for results in our meditation? Is it better to want that meditation to be used to wipe out our past life's karma?
Meditation should be used to wipe our all past life. That is why Christ said, repent. Kingdom of heaven is within you. Repent for what? Sometimes we look in our life, we haven't done anything to do anything at all to repent. But he says repent. Everybody has to repent. Repenting is about those karmas which we have been committing in the previous life. And that repentance is only by meditation. By tending to that Holy Ghost, that Comforter. That is real repenting. Meditation is actually nothing but repenting for those karmas. And asking the forgiveness from the Father, what we have committed in the past lives. Because they stand in our way. Yes?
The largest gathering of Westerners that has occurred here in India. I'd like to ask you, what would you like us to take back with us for our meditation when we return to our homes and take back to us, to our sanghats, and take back with us to the societies we live in?
Well, you take back the atmosphere in which you are living today and try to preserve that atmosphere with you always. And try to influence with this atmosphere other satsangis also, so that we can all attend to our meditation. There's no particular message. We know all, we all know what to do. We all know the path, we all know the destination. We have only to travel on the path and reach our destination. But atmosphere helps us to travel on that path. Thank you. Yes.
Master, sometimes in my meditation, when I'm saying Simran, and I don't manage to do Dhyan, and my mind keeps on going out, is that meditation worth anything if I've only managed to be saying Simran and no Dhyan?
Sister, any minute, any second we attend to our meditation is to our credit. It means a lot to us. We should not think about the quality of our meditation at all. But we must attend to our meditation for as long as we can, conveniently can. And don't worry whether it has been, you see, of any use or not. Every minute is useful to us of meditation. Yes?
Could you please speak to us about our relationship to Nam in the beginning stages and how we can learn to like to listen to it?
What do you mean by relationship to Nam?
Well, we're so far away from it actually, and it's the path of the sound current, and I feel like I don't understand it
very
much.
You see, our very soul is a ray of that divine melody. This very soul is just a ray of that divine melody. And soul is anxious to become whole by being in touch with that melody. This is a relationship of love, relationship of longing to go back to one's own source. Soul is always filled with love and devotion for the Father. It is only the weight of mind which is keeping the soul away from the Father. So left to soul, it will not stay even for a few seconds here in this creation. It is the mind which is holding our soul back to this creation. So our purpose of meditation is to lift the load of mind from the soul so that it can go back to its own source. So this relationship is that of love, not of any religion or caste or country or anything at all. It is a relationship of love. That is why Christ described this relationship as Father and Son. Because this love which keeps father and son together is a relationship of love. Ramakrishna mission people, you see, they call the relationship of soul and father as that of a son and a mother. And many mystics, Swamiji and Guru Nanak says, is just wife and a husband. But in all these relationships, which binds them together is love. So actually our relationship with the father is that of love. It is not by becoming a Mohammedan or becoming a Christian or becoming a Hindu or a Sikh you are entitled to go back to the Father. If you are able to develop that love and devotion for the Father, that will enable you to go back to the Father. All these religions and castes and creeds and colors and countries, they have only concerned with our body. And body will be just given to, it will just become ash. You see, so all these things will just stay here. Soul has no religion, soul has no country, soul has no caste, father has no religion, no country, no caste, no creed. So our relationship is with that father, who is above the religions and above the countries and above the caste prejudices. So it's a relationship of love, not anything else at all. Yes.
Master, I would like to know, when my time comes, am I going to be able to see my husband?
See your husband?
Yes.
Where is he?
He's with you. He's with you.
Sister, you should try to just forget about it. Because it is not in one's interest to be attached to those persons who have already left us. I know this attachment is always bothering us, makes us miserable, but it is also in the interest of another person if we get attached from them.
But I'm so torn between you and him.
You see, just see that so many actors come on a stage. They play their part and leave the stage. If we start getting attached to the actors, we will become miserable because they will come and go. There is no reality. So don't unnecessarily feel perturbed.
Thank you.